You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements. Good morning, Sean, and welcome back.
Yeah, good morning. A bit cooler today in the valley.
Yes, and I believe that you are extremely busy, so, well, you know, good luck for that.
Yeah, let's hope the year is fruitful for everyone. And, yeah, things have been a busy start to the year.
And I trust you had a good break.
It's always a good break, but never long enough.
Yes.
You almost need a holiday from the holiday.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, we're going to talk general DIY maintenance problems that you're going to have in the house. So before
we get going, let's put it out to all our listeners, near and far. This is your chance to ask questions on 072-447-8044.
Cool. Yeah. Let's start with your walls, internal, external walls. People have issues with paint falling off, scraping off. You have cracks. I'm getting a lot of crack requests. People are phoning me about cracks. Subsidence, when the builder didn't do proper compaction, and you have a faulty wall. Basically, now you have to look at the options that you can deal with. We can say what not to do, and then the quick fix, or to do things properly. And we see a lot of people doing quick fix and taking shortcuts, and that is going to be a costly affair.
So, what is quick fix and shortcuts?
Well, if we take a building a boundary wall, for instance, you bring in a contractor, you need to dig to hard ground for a foundation. So solid ground. People think, oh, I'll just dig 400 deep, which is 40 cent, or I'll dig to 7. It's not guaranteed that you have to dig to 70 or 700 deep or 400. You dig until you hit solid ground. So a guy is trying to save money. Well, obviously try and dig as low as possible. As he doesn't want to go deep. Then obviously it's more material he's using, more concrete, more stone. So things to watch out for is just to have a look in your foundations when they're busy. See how deep. A simple trick is to take a metal rod and you actually push into the ground. If that rod just keeps going deeper and deeper, then you're not deep enough.
Okay.
You should push that metal rod until you hit solid ground. So that's how they take shortcuts. So therefore, your foundations aren't deep enough. Even if you compact that soil, you will still have movement and subsidence. So engineer will always tell you, you dig until you hit solid ground, even if it's 2 meters deep. I've had to dig foundations almost 2 or 3 meters deep and fill it with concrete.
But surely when you lay in foundations, the engineer should be on site to check that, Charles?
Unfortunately, when it comes to boundary walls, and maybe people want to put a little patio or something, they don't bring engineers in. We are registered builders, so we have to bring in an engineer when we do a structural. If I'm building a room onto your house, then an engineer would be involved. Anything that goes through council would have an engineer.
Okay.
But there's a lot of, we call it odd jobs, where people are, they just want a boundary wall put up, or they want, something. And then you get guys who don't know what they're doing. Even vibrocrete walls, the most simple and cost-effective wall that you can put up. People just put the posts in concrete, not looking what's on the other side of the wall. If your neighbor's ground level is higher than your ground level, it's going to put pressure on that vibrocrete. So your neighbor would have to do a retaining wall.
Yeah.
So that his soil is not putting pressure on your vibrocrete. So it gets quite technical, and engineers are there for a reason. But even a builder who's been around for a few years, he should know the correct way. Things are very costly, and a lot of guys are, just to get their foot in the door, they come in with a very attractive price, and the client thinks they're getting the best deal ever. But 5 or 2 or even 1 year down the line, that wall's falling over, and now they say, why? What is the problem? And they've spent a lot of money.
Because the builders cut corners.
Yeah, so what to look out for is a good way. Is obviously look at how the builder is preparing. Preparation is everything. If they dig that foundation quick, where it should take 3 days or 4 days, they dig it in 1 day, alarm bells. You know, they're not going deep enough. Ideally, you need to look at your thickness of your concrete. Concrete should be nothing less than 220 centimeters. We normally do a 230 to 250 concrete for a foundation, and that's your base. That's your solid ground to start building on. And also brickwork. We're limited to how high we can build in 1 day regarding strength of the wall, and obviously the higher you go, the more it's going to have a lean on it. So check when the builder leaves, just take your DIY level or level and just put your level on the brickwork. Just see, is this the Leaning Tower of Pisa, or is this thing going straight? There's always limitations. I'm not saying it's going to be perfectly level, but you can definitely see if you're going in the right direction. Yeah. So foundations, preparation, concrete. Concrete mix is important. There's some builders who haven't got a clue on how to mix proper concrete. So either the mix is too weak, they haven't got enough aggregate in it, stone, or not enough cement. Too much water can weaken the mix.
So could you break that down for us? What is the correct mix?
If you look on the back of every PPC bag, any cement bag, it actually tells you the correct ratio of sand to stone to cement. For certain strength, we call it MPA strength. You get different strengths for a slab, 25 MPA, to different MPAs for concrete and for foundations and for slabs. So they come in different strengths, and also for screed, when we cast a screed for flooring, it's a different strength. So a proper builder should have it in his head. We deal with it every day. We know exactly what mix to use where. But that could be a massive fault if your foundations aren't thrown properly.
So what happens in that case?
Well, if your foundations are compromised, you start over. We either have to, if the structure is already up, we have to underpin the whole house, and that's a very costly affair, by digging holes all around your property and putting compacted.
So when would the owner realize, wait, I've been taken for a ride here?
Unfortunately, if it's not instant, it could be months, or it could be a year, or it could even be up to 2 years that you'll notice that things aren't correct. Yeah, and we get called in to try and correct the problem. Yeah. It's what not to do. There's regulations for building. That's why we have the NHBRC that regulates how builders are supposed to build. When we use, and it has changed over the years. Building restrictions have changed, and what they request builders to process.
So, do you have to do an exam for this for the NH?
NHBRC does require a trade test that you would have to go sit for, and they want to know experience. They're not just going to take a guy who's never lifted a brick.
So where does one go for that? And do they come on site to check you?
They do send people out to check in the early days. Obviously, the more they get to know the contractor. We have had a site that was condemned that actually shut off from a previous builder. So they have got the force to stop work. And that client, unfortunately, lost a lot of money, and then we had to come in and save him.
Yeah. So as a builder, Sean, do you go and write the exam yourself, or does your team go with
it? It's a test. It's a test just to see that you actually know a bit about what you're doing. But a lot of the work is actually what happens on site. If you're using the correct brick strength, what people don't know, if you build a double-story house with a cement brick, you use a different strength brick on the bottom, and a difference you you use a different strength being on the upstairs level. So I use a 14 MPa brick for the first floor, for the ground floor, and a 7 MPa on the top floor.
That is interesting. You know, so it's not just a brick is a brick to build.
Well, you get bricks is a whole other talk, because now you get cement bricks, blocks, you get clay bricks, varying different strengths, 25 MPa, 14 MPa. So it's you got to know what you're doing and how you tie, because in the Cape where we are, a lot of our walls are cavity walls, so we have to have a cavity between the two bricks. You have an inside skin and an outside skin, and you have a cavity. That's to do with moisture, and because we're near the coast and our environment and the coastal, it's how you tie those two bricks together. Before, people used to use binding strips, wire, that which are not allowed anymore. You have to use butterfly ties. You know, you have to use certain amount of butterfly ties. Brick force is to be used in every third course, in some cases every second course. So there's a lot to know what's actually going on.
You're telling me.
Yeah. But on new builds, everything runs to an engineer. So we're talking more about people now bringing in contractors.
Yes, after the house is built.
Or they want to add a patio, and then their patio collapses, or patio starts cracking everywhere. So we're talking about those jobs where engineers are not involved. So you've got to really be careful on who you bring in to do these jobs. Roof coverings. We've seen some disaster patio structures where there's no contractor that's no engineer involved, nobody signing this thing off. And they're using inferior timbers that are not designed for the job they're supposed to do. And then you see a lot of warping, a lot of collapsing.
Because the owners know, they haven't got the experience.
Well, a lot of people are struggling financially. Yes. And we see it every day with our quotations.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, if you do things properly, it's going to cost you a little bit more. In some cases, a lot more. There's always going to be a cheap and nasty way to do a job. And unfortunately, these guys come in, promise you the world, and I walk on site and say, this is not to code. This is not, you're going to fail. The engineer's not going to sign this off. And then if you want to sell your house one day, you either have to take it down or you have to do it properly, because you'd have to get certification.
Have you come across a home that has been built and then has been told it's got to be broken down?
Yeah. So, well, we've seen a few, and we've seen a few add-ons that haven't been done correctly.
So did they actually make you...
The building inspector will tell you to take it down or you need to correct it. And we've seen a few of those, because they actually need to come and give you occupancy certificate.
Yes.
And any decent builder will know over this distance of opening, we're going to need to use this size timber. We have to use stainless steel screws and bolts because we're near the coast, and otherwise everything's just going to rust. Or they don't use the correct thickness bolts or the screws, or they don't use the, So it goes on and on and on of things where it can go wrong.
And you must see an awful lot of that.
Support columns. They don't use the correct beams. There's a lot of fly-by-nights cowboys in the valley.
And it also sounds so technical.
Yeah.
You know, it really does.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, it comes down to people's budgets. But again, talk to the builder. And most times the builder can work with you on your budget. A lot of clients are very scared to give a builder or somebody their budget, which I think it actually benefits the builder, where we know where to take the quote. We can make, instead of using, there's always different grades to different materials. We have the Rolls Royce, or you have the mid-range, or we have the entry level. We never go to the cheapest. I'll call it entry level, mid range, and Rolls Royce.
Okay.
So, but a lot of times a decent builder will rather go to the mid range and Rolls Royce. But if a client says my budget is so much, we say we can go to the entry level, but...
But then you let them know.
Long term, we would prefer you go in mid-range.
Okay.
Yeah. But we understand there's some things where entry level is the only way it's going to work, yeah. And then we do our best to accommodate.
So when you go see a client for a quote, I mean, it's not just, and it's now a new home or extension. So you sit with that client and you list, you hear them out, and then you give them guidance on.
We normally can read the client, and most clients will just tell us exactly. We want this, we want that, we want the best. That those are the best clients who are super organized. They're actually almost ahead of you. They know exactly what they want, and we can work with them and provide what they want.
And I presume they ask lots of questions.
Oh, we have a few. We have files after files of back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, communication. Yeah.
And what happens when you work with a difficult client?
Oh, there's no difficult client. We keep things civil. Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't. Help anybody if we start losing our stuff, you know, or getting aggressive, or
yeah.
So we've heard it all, and it becomes a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because how long are you going to be on site?
Well, every job is different, but you eventually become very familiar with that family or their routine. Most of my clients are old clients which I've worked for, and they keep coming back. So. Yeah,
well, that's good news.
a project is, it varies. You're with this person for 3 months or for 6 months in and out their home. You definitely get to know each other. Yeah.
Yes. On media, especially Facebook media, there's a lot of homeowners that are not happy with work that has been done. You know, they don't know what to do.
What I would suggest that going back to people just bringing in different contractors, social media is changing the industry because a lot of builders just people in the trade are advertising on social media.
Yes.
Then you're not even seeing the photos and pictures that they've done. They can download photos from other builders, and you think, wow, look at the amazing work that this guy's done. It's not even his work. But the moment he has you hooked and you've paid that deposit, now you have to deal with who's in front of you.
Yes.
So I always say, get referrals, go have a look at the work the contractor's done, and don't feel shy to phone a few clients. Say, and even then, they often give friends and family.
Yes.
So you've got to be careful. I'd rather go physically look at the work and talk to people, friends and family that you know who've had builders work for them. That I find is the best. And often my work comes like that. I'll do a job for someone, and then suddenly the daughter needs a job done, then the uncle needs a job done, and
so it's been word per mouth anyway, and what you can produce.
But unfortunately, with everybody's changing online, look how many people are buying everything on Shein or
yes.
Temu or Takealot, and going to shops just doesn't happen anymore. And the same is now happening for trade services. So some companies write their own reviews, you know.
That's actually scary to hear, but it does happen. I do believe that.
Yeah.
There's someone on Facebook media now that paid the deposit, came for 2 days, and has disappeared.
Yeah. And talking about materials, a lot of companies are offering these amazing material prices. Could be anything, decking planks, boards. And people pay the massive deposit, and this company doesn't even exist. So you really got to do your homework. Yeah.
So when you go on site and someone needs a deck in, do you buy a purchase of materials yourself, or do you does a client?
We have different suppliers that we work with as builders. So it's up to the client. If we would normally supply and fit, but if a client has a contact that they have, I'll say you're more than welcome to supply the decking. Tiles, the client would normally supply his own tiles, and also sanitary ware, which would be toilets, basins, things like that. But generally the builder, we're not going to now break our quote down to say, every screw, nut and bolt for the client to provide. It doesn't help us on site. If I need a bag of cement, I need to know that I can go
that
get
you
it.
Can get it.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not waiting for you to go buy me a bag of cement. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a tricky out there. It's a new year. I think people need to be careful on who they bring into their circle and who they bring on site.
But like you said, do your homework. Don't just take, which you've opened my eyes to some things now, because I didn't realize that people used other contractors' building pictures.
Of course, once you post anything online, your photos are for everyone. It's open, so it happens all the time.
And you have a website yourself, haven't you? So people could look at your at what you produce.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, but you know, again, I've got references that people can, and solid references. And I think a photo is just a photo. But as I said, you're not guaranteed that person did the work. And be careful when they start offering too many services. Suddenly it's, you know, they can offer everything, you know, they're not specialized in certain areas. A lot of builders, we use specialized contractors that work with us. So I've got a specialized aluminium, specialized plumber, specialized electrician.
And then it works hand in hand, because all these things, you need a certificate, don't you?
That is a big, and I've had a lot of clients who just want a cheap electrician or cheap plumber, and I say, can he sign the house off? Can he sign the project? No, he hasn't got the pay. You can't touch him, because if that house burns down and he fiddled on your property, your insurance won't pay out.
Yes.
Because he's not certified. So unfortunately, you need to use a certified electrician, certified plumber, and it goes on and on.
So, Sean, just before we end, when you go on site and you've had your house built from scratch, and you've got to sign off, who do you walk? You sign off the house, and so who signs it off with you?
No, so the engineer signs off the whole project, and then your building inspector has to give you an occupancy certificate.
It's a building inspector.
But building inspector, but without the engineer, you won't get any certificates.
And tell me, do they check electrical?
They check everything.
Do they check all of that?
They want certificates.
Okay, so that's
so if there is a fault, the plumber or electrician that did the work would be liable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sean. So is there anything else? I know you've got to run.
Now I've got to get back to the madness.
Yes. So is there anything else you want to share with us quickly?
No. Anderson Improvements. It's 083-316-5752.
Sean, thank you so much for coming in. I know you've got to run. You've got a big quote to do.
Okay.
Bye.